Okay. So today our focus is on content marketing, and to lead our discussion is Susan McClain, and so I want to thank her for joining us today. Just a little bit about her. She is the marketing manager for Affiliated Acceptance Corporation located in Kansas, and she started her career with OEC Medical Systems as a technical writer. And with her English degree and her love of writing, she's built a strong technical and marketing skills. She worked for sales tax, software as a service product on Bainbridge Island, Washington. And she built a content marketing program that leveraged 100% growth of unique visitors month over month, which is really impressive. And in this competitive world, Susan enjoys making words work and using her design and marketing skills to benefit those she works with. So with that little introduction, I'm going to turn it over to Susan for her information.
Thank you, Susie. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I have both a long and a short version of this. Of what I have to share. So based on, you know, what questions you ask and conversation you want to have, we'll kind of direct what information I bring in. To start off, we are all in the business of content marketing. Whether we're a publisher, freelancer, or an author, you are in the business to present and share content. Basic content strategy is to provide content that is of value to your audience, in order to drive their attention, awareness, and action regarding your product or topic. You know, content marketing that we'll focus on today is online content marketing, basically. Content marketing strategy can also include some print, you know, billboards, TV, but we're going to focus more on what we would do on our web-based properties. So types of content, when you're considering developing your content marketing strategy, the types of content that you're going to consider are online and print magazine articles, email and texting content, infographics, video, blog posts, images, website pages, social media posts, press releases, apps, ads, interviews, case studies, and white papers. With all of this content, there's certain things you have to consider when you're developing each of these different kinds of content. One of the things that is a must-have is how you do your tagging and your keywords, how you develop your headings, linking to other posts. All of these are must-haves within content marketing. It's kind of like your back end that enhances your ability for your social media or any content like blog posts that you put out to be seen and to be read by, you know, Google's algorithms and Bing's algorithms and any of the search engines. Tagging also helps to increase your cross-linking and your exposure across a variety of audiences as people pick up tags and share tags and spread them around the internet. Naming your images and videos and infographics are important. And recently, in the past year, some of the most important things is headings and keywords and headings in content like a blog post. You know, going back to that, breaking up your information into bites and bits so that they're easily digestible is important, and search engine optimization with keywords and tagging and headings actually help push you to do that as well. I noticed that you have had a presentation already on social media, so I'm not going to emphasize and talk about how you do social media because you've obviously had some great talks before me. But I thought I'd talk about jumpstarting your content online, which is something that's on my mind right now because the company I'm working for has not had a lot of exposure online beyond just having their website and whatever was put online as a result of print ads that they did. So I've been starting to research a lot on how to jumpstart that exposure. And the LDS PPVA uses an online tool called Storify. Storify and a number of other online tools can be used to help jumpstart the exposure of your content that you're putting out. Facebook boosting and promotion is another way. Making sure that your website is a site that is optimal for content exposure and search engine results. Most people promote WordPress. Plugins for those websites that help to enhance your SEO. And then publishing on associated sites. My company that I work for now is actually a payment processing and full-service billing company. We have specific target audiences. So I have reached out to some of the online magazines that are of interest to our audience, and I have proposed articles that I would like to write and publish in those magazines. And some of them, most of them don't charge. Few of them do. A few of them will let you put in an article or an editorial if you advertise with them. They all have different, you know, standards as to what they would like to do. So you find kind of a group of online properties that can get you exposure to your audience and see how you can negotiate getting content in there. I focus on articles a lot because there's so much good information and subject matter expertise that we have in our company. I want to be able to get that out to our audience in order to help them, because the more interesting that content is, the more they're going to be thinking of you the next time they think of those topics and thinking of you when they need your services. Another, if you can, you know, aggregator sites, some of them are reputable, some of them aren't. If you can find a good one, they can help to jumpstart that visibility as well, because they'll pick up your content and display it to others without SEO damage of having the same content in more than one place. Did anyone have any questions? Okay. I was asked to talk a little bit about how, you know, the publisher, the freelancer, the author might approach doing content marketing. Now, the most important thing is having valuable content and then finding a way to expose that content. One of the things that definitely authors and publishers and freelancers can do is they can cross-link with fellow promoters. One example might be author one recognizes author two and provides a review, you know, reads their content, provides a review, shares with others. Author one does the same out of courtesy back for author two, and then you've expanded your audience, you know, at least twice as far, if not bigger. Another method is with your regular social media posting and linking. You know, be regular and expose, like if you're doing white papers or ebooks, you know, expose it and then maybe a few weeks later talk about it again. Place it on Facebook, place it in a number of different places to allow exposure across different kinds of social platforms, you know, LinkedIn, Google+, each of those. Publishing an ebook is one of those things. I'm sorry, did someone have a question?
Yeah, this is Susie, I do. Do you have any suggestions? So, for example, when you post it on LinkedIn or you post it on Facebook, any suggestions on how to get that, just, I guess, get it to more people so more people see it?
You mean within LinkedIn, so it's not just the people you're connected to that see it?
Yeah, or, you know, even within the network, how are there any ways to increase the visibility of it?
I have not done a lot of exposure with LinkedIn beyond publishing some blogs and linking those blogs. Actually, I would link it to where the original location of the blog is. I would have the blog on my blog site, and I would discuss, put a blurb from it and link it. Or some of the authors on LinkedIn, they actually become authors for LinkedIn, and they submit regularly. That tends to get them into LinkedIn's queue to where they expose that author's content within LinkedIn to a bigger audience, not just those that you're networked with. So one of the avenues may be becoming an author on LinkedIn, which I don't think is that hard to do because I have a few friends who have done that, but that is, like I said, LinkedIn isn't one that I've been looking at recently, so my information's a little bit old. I don't know if that helps or answers your question.
No, that is helpful. Is there anything with any of the other social media networks, maybe Facebook or Twitter, anything that you can do to help increase exposure of the things you post?
Well, there's a couple of, for free, the first thing you can do is those hashtags, making sure that you find the right hashtags. It's really kind of a courtesy. We just had a trade show, and trying to help my sales team understand the value of hashtags was kind of a last-minute thing and didn't work so well. But like when we had one of our clients come to us, we took a picture with them, and then to expose it to a greater audience, if we hashtagged and linked over to his Facebook page, then we got his audience and a number of other audiences. Using keywords within that is critical also on Facebook, just like anywhere else. But Facebook has some fairly inexpensive ways of boosting. You can also go into Facebook and you can define your audience that you want to reach. When I further defined my audience within Facebook, there was still 60-some billion that my stuff would reach if I boosted it. So being able to go into your back end of your page. With Facebook, I'm presuming that if you have an author page on Facebook, that's what I'm presuming. You know, you've got your personal self on Facebook, but you can create a business page or an author page. And with that page, that's the one that you're going to drive and you're going to boost to drive people to like you and to build that following on Facebook so that you can expand your reach. But you can boost your, and like I said, it's fairly inexpensive to boost or promote a page, and making sure that you have on that page the key information that you want people to know about you is important. One of the things you had talked about was marketing yourself. You know, I would say when you create a page where you're going to market yourself on Facebook or on any of the social media sites, always remember that what you put on social media, even if you delete it later somehow or other, it's going to always be there. So consider how you want to present yourself and who you are or the product that you are delivering, because that will make you think more carefully about the kind of keywords you want to use. You know, I used to be more focused on my technical writing because that's where my first experiences were and my strongest experience originally in my career. I, to this day, even though I'm not using that as a keyword and even though I'm trying to emphasize my other skills when I market myself, I still get tons of people reaching out to me for technical writing. It's just always going to be there. I always remember that. And I'll get to the marketing yourself later, but let me get back to Facebook and ways to enhance it. The biggest thing to remember about the social media is their indexes. And, you know, being in the publishing world, I'm sure everyone can understand indexes. Indexes kind of are what make the world run when you're looking at search technology. And the algorithms change often. So it's good actually to try to stay on top of, find a couple good blogs that talk about SEO and the most current practices, because it is very dynamic. You know, you, 1 month what works 1 month, 3 months later, you may have to switch your strategy. A good example is when Google decided that they were going to start mixing up the results that they would deliver. And so they mixed into the algorithm that they would not deliver the same list twice to the same user who's doing the search. That kind of ruined my day, because sometimes I'd come back and search just to find the results that they'd given me the last time. But now no longer do I get the same results, because they've set it in the algorithm in order to give more opportunity for more companies to get on the first page. They've arranged it so that they don't always return the exact same list or the exact same order of results. And that way it makes it a little bit more fair across the board. But it makes it harder to find the exact same thing twice with the same keywords. Were there any specific, more specific questions you have about the social media?
Hello?
I'm sorry, you, I only caught part of that.
Oh, that was great. Thank you.
When you're talking about social media, video is very big now. Infographics were big. They're still fun to have. And images. When you put your video, image, or infographic out there, whether it's on Pinterest or anywhere else, be very aware of the naming and the tagging of that video, image, and infographic, because the naming and the tagging is important to the search engines. If you just have image, 1, 2, 3, 4, date, that's not going to tell anyone anything. But if you have, you know, Sam jumping on the trampoline or whatever that video is presenting, you know, for me, I would probably put something like, on one of my videos I put out a martial arts full service billing. Those are the keywords we want people to be picking up that video for, and that we want that video to be seen regarding. So that's kind of how I titled it, so that those words were in the name. And then when I uploaded it to YouTube, I made sure I had some tagging. And that increases the reach. Now, I want to point out that it's been shown that even really bad content, given the right back-end tagging and keyword optimization, can come up in search results. However, as I've been watching the trends over the past year, year and a half, great content with the right short and long descriptions using the same optimization will become stronger, because even in today's environment, it really is important to people to have good grammar, great writing, and reduced typos. I have coworkers, if there's a typo in something, they think it's very suspect, even if it's on social media. And they're right to think that way. At least I think they're right to think that way. Now, let's talk a little bit about marketing yourself, because these other two pieces, let me first remind you that if you are doing anything online and with your content marketing, one of the few places that I am really competitive is I'm really competitive with myself and my numbers. I found that while what I did with Avalara was I focused on building great content that was relevant to our audience and was pushed out on a regular basis. So I was blogging several blogs, probably 2 to 4 blogs a day, actually, for them, writing case studies and white papers and a variety of types of content. And we had 2 different websites. So I focused the one website on the audience it was looking for. It was a tax rates, taxrates.com. And I focused all my content there to talk about the topic of that site. People go there to find out about sales and use taxes and the rates applicable in their state and how it might impact them as a business. So I gave them relevant content to their business, stories in story format. Great content marketing is telling a story. And so I would tell them stories about, like, one business in Oregon lost their whole business, lost 7 locations just because of a minor infraction and disagreement with Washington State. Now, Oregon doesn't have sales tax, but Washington State does. So when somebody in Vancouver, Washington drove across the border to Portland to pick up a bed or a piece of furniture and brought it back into the state of Washington, there was sales tax due on that item because that person lives in Washington. And the business, though, is licensed to do business in Oregon, so they don't collect sales tax. However, the business recommended a third party to actually carry that furniture back across the border. And Washington State got wind of it, came back to them and said, well, how many times have you done that? Because you know, by law, that means you are responsible for collecting the sales tax and delivering it to Washington State. And so I was able to tell a story about a situation that was impactful to any small business in either of those states that they might be interested in reading about. And, you know, case studies are, you know, the formal term of success stories, stories about your customers and clients, their experience. Those go over okay, but I found that telling them stories that were really relevant to their business went over better. That particular website, most people loved hearing about the latest sales tax changes. They were really small blogs, but they were the most trafficked because they would go there to find out when is my state, when is my county, when is my city going to change my next, what is the next sales tax rate change, and when does it happen? And the sooner I could have it there, the happier they were because it would be fully indexed with the search engines by the time they were actually really looking for it. So I found that doing an awful lot of research, knowing what my audience wanted, and delivering that content, that's what increased that traffic. How that relates to a book might be that you find your audience's interests and you find small pieces of content that you can tempt them with. A couple of my favorite authors will do short story snippets. Sometimes they'll ask 99 cents for it. Sometimes they'll just offer it for free. And somebody will get hooked. They'll have to see the book. Oh, no, they've got to buy it. And so they'll buy it, whether it's on Kindle or as a hard copy, you know, enticing them into, you know, your lair and your book is really how you would use that social media really effectively. Get them excited about it. But back to analytics. The way that I could tell where people were going was we had analytics hooked into our website and our content, and we could measure the amount of traffic. At our trade show this couple weeks ago, we found certain kinds of content being uploaded, certain images and certain names and words in our Facebook content got us more traffic. Some of them did, some of them didn't. So we evaluated, and what Facebook says is if there's a picture and some of the other social media sites, you know, of course not Twitter, but having an image or a video is very big right now. But analyzing your traffic to see what is bringing the most traffic will help you to define what is of most value in order to provide more of that content or more of that information.
Susan, this is Susie. I have another question.
As for videos, have you found anything regarding video, like best practices for videos, maybe on link or how it's presented, you know, that way?
With video, you know, I can just kind of tell you a little bit from my experience, but that it may be different for other individuals. What I found with video is the 30 to 90 second videos that I've done, those will go over pretty well. And those don't get old very fast, actually. They don't have to be anything super fancy. The company I work for was really reticent about this idea of video, but I said, you know, we've got a really good deal here. It's only $100 to do a 30-second video. So we did it, and we have just used that, and people like it, and they're attracted to it, and it tells a story. One of the coolest videos that I've seen is one that my older son, he works for a company called Balance Innovations, and the video they have now is much longer than their first one. Their first one was like 90 seconds. This next one is like, you know, 2-3 minutes or more. And I can't sit through the whole thing. It's just as engaging as the shorter one, but I can't sit through it. So their message gets lost. So usually you need to deliver that message in the first 30 seconds. Because you'll probably lose them unless it's a very targeted audience that has that time span to sit and watch a video for longer than 30 to 90 seconds. So my best practice is get that message there within the first 30 seconds or you might lose them. And remembering to do the right tagging and naming of the video. Does that answer your question, or do you have a few?
Yeah, that was great. I guess maybe one more. So in the videos, is it just somebody speaking, or you know, if they're telling this story, is it acted out?
I have two different videos that I had done. One was basically a whiteboard video. What I mean by telling a story, it's kind of like watching cartoons. That's usually much more exciting than somebody talking to the camera. Although it's nice to see the person who's talking to you, I usually build a story and a message, and the whiteboard video was the first one that we did, and our chief financial officer, who has worked with companies around the world, just loves that one, because you've seen those help whiteboard videos where they're drawing while they're talking to you. Those are the ones, you know, something like that is what a whiteboard video is. Our other one was more of a caricature. You know, it had figures on it, and the video had the figures moving. The voice was doing the voiceover for the messaging, and then words would fly into the page that gave the message. If you go to, you can see the two videos on my company's website, affiliatedacceptance.com. You'd have to go to under payment processing, you'd have to select fitness or martial arts. And one of those drop-down buttons, each of them has the video in there, and you can see the different kinds of videos. They're going to be engaging, you know, with video, having an engaging video. Even if it were a book that I was trying to present and entice someone to read, I would probably have a video where it basically acts out a part, perhaps, of the book. And, you know, there's a voice reading or telling about the character in the book, the, you know, protagonist and the antagonist maybe a little bit, and then landing at the end with the name of the book, the author, and how to purchase the book or how to learn more. Biggest thing is making it engaging. Think of this Pokemon Go. You know, people are engaged because it's an app that has images and things to do, and they're horribly engaged. And they get excited about it. And that seems to be the trend right now, is you've got to be telling that story. You've got to be engaging them in some way. You can also use interactive video, to where they have to take an action while they're looking at your video. That will keep their attention if it's going to be longer than, 30 seconds or 90 seconds. Thank you. Any other questions before I go on? So I wanted to spend a little bit of time on marketing yourself, because this is something I've actually thought about over the past year a bit and tried to determine how do I want to market myself in the future. And if you're an author or an editor or someone who's trying to present themselves in order to get a job, you definitely want to take a look at all of your online properties and consider what you've got there and how you're presenting yourself, whether you have pictures. It's really important to have a picture of yourself. You know, whether you go and go to a professional place and have them give you, you know, a professional portrait photo to put online, it's good to consider what you're wearing and how you look when you put yourself out there. I remember we did a research project on avatars, and when people put on their portrait photos, if they have, you know, grungy hair and an old T-shirt versus if they have a suit jacket, a tie, based on how they presented themselves, whether or not they got a job, whether or not they got an interview, whether or not somebody reached out to them. And it probably changes every year, but they found that as long as you presented yourself clean and, you know, and where they could see your face, that was one of the most important parts. If you're in the dark, it doesn't matter what you're wearing. If your face isn't clear, that seemed to be a very important factor. So people who had pictures of their whole body from their toes to their head, you couldn't really see their face very well. And so those did not resonate with the audience that was being tested. So having a good portrait photo of you, shoulders up, that presents yourself well is important. Tagging that photo correctly and naming the photo is another thing that will be important. Making sure that a friend of mine, what she did when she published some children's books, she made a website and a Facebook page for that book, just for that book, and, you know, developed the content of the sites to make it interesting to the person who visited and to drive them to purchase that book. When you're doing it for yourself, you want to drive someone to either know who you are or be willing to look at what you're producing or be looking at you to communicate with you about a job or to find out what you've done recently. So think about your look and your feel. Some of the ways to get yourself exposed is doing something like this, volunteering to speak or share or moderate something that gives you exposure as an author and as an editor. And anytime you can author a piece of content anywhere. I've been published in Utah Spaces magazine. I don't even know if that still exists. And I've been published in a lot of different magazines. And I still have a lot of exposure to accountants and sales and use tax professionals, because of the amount of work I did 3 years ago with Avalara, I still have those associations and those links. And I continue to nurture those. And with the new audiences that I have, I know I need to produce valuable content and get it put out there where they can see it. That byline will help them. If I have my own personal website or my own personal Facebook page, that gets exposure to those pages and reaches even further. Once again, still be consistent with your message so you can maximize the keywords you want to be associated with. And part of that is determining the qualities and capabilities that you want to market about yourself and to build your persona around that so you can self-brand with the qualities that you want people to know you for. You can be creative with building your persona and how you're going to present yourself. I had a couple of examples, and hopefully this will give you a giggle, but think of Larry the Cable Guy. He's built a persona that he can't get out of. Of course, he makes a lot of money with it, but he's built this persona of who he is and what he represents. Very few people can build a persona and then move into another persona. Tina Fey is probably one of the few who's gone from comedian persona to talented actress persona quite effectively without even people noticing. But you can't change your personal branding that fast. You know, like I said, I still have people chasing after me for technical writing, even though I haven't really included that in my keywords for quite a while. When you're marketing yourself in any way, definitely use LinkedIn. And as I was mentioning to Susie earlier, publishing yourself, become an author there and publish valuable content. I have friends who are business analysts, and they've been in several different states and overseas as a business analyst. And I noticed that a number of them started publishing on LinkedIn. It gets their exposure to people who may want to hire them on a contract job. So be consistent with your message, author valuable content, seek publications to place content, even if it's just a short story or talking about the challenges of being an author, volunteer to speak, share or moderate, and set up your professional media pages, social media pages, a blog, a website. Websites, the greatest thing about a website is if you have a blog. The blog helps to stimulate dynamic content, which is important for increasing your search engine optimization. The key point that I haven't talked a lot about here, I've tried to focus more on content, but content marketing is all about maximizing your search engine results and your search engine marketing efforts. And content goes hand in hand with that. You know, SEO, you can pay tons of money to improve your SEO, but having great content is, in my mind, kind of the foundation of that. So I'm going to open up for anyone who wants to give me anything else they'd like to talk about when it comes to content marketing, if there's anything I've missed. Susie, did you have any other questions? Or
what resources have you used? More about content.
I'm sorry, for what?
Sorry about that. What resources have you used to learn more about content marketing, learn best practices, just increase your skills and knowledge of content marketing?
I have searched on the Internet. I've searched on the Internet. When I started doing content marketing, it was still very new, and so I would regularly keep myself abreast of writing strategies for the website and content strategies for websites. And it really is just a matter of trying to keep in touch and finding reputable sites that give you valuable information about content marketing. I did a lot of, when I was first doing it, my goal was produce valuable content written well for my audience. And to be successful at it, I really had to research my audience, and I had to research what the results of my writing was doing, because there was some content that was more effective than others. So being really good at content marketing means being able to analyze the results and activity of what you're doing. So that's a skill set to be aware of. And then I still will just type in content marketing or a couple other keywords just to see what people are saying out there.
Susan, this is Steve. Could you tell another story, kind of a success story that kind of from that would really illustrate, you know, how you go about it from beginning to end?
I think we might have lost Susan.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Well, let's wait just a second and see if she can call back in. Adam, do you think maybe you could text her and
is she related
see what
to
happened? Yeah. She's Adam's mom.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I just texted her.
Thanks.
Does anyone else have some particular knowledge about content marketing that they wanted to share? I will say that there are a couple of members of the Bureau Color Publisher staff who are just totally into this now, that it's all they talk about. and so that my reason for coming on the call was just to kind of try and catch up a little bit with what they're talking about.
And it was some, when she was talking about videos, I've done some video scripts for this company that does whiteboard videos, and that does seem, it's definitely more popular now, and it's been interesting to see what she said about the 30-second to 90-second versus some of the companies we've worked with. They want videos that are up to 3 minutes, and we've definitely tried to convince them that shorter is better, and so that's kind of an interesting thing, but I think what she said is really keeping it as short as possible and getting that information at the beginning really is key, because, you know, you can't count on people watching to the end, so getting that information, if it is going to be longer, just making sure that the most important information is at the beginning so that you get that at least. People who watch it get that information.
This is Brian with Greg Cofer Books. We have been using social media quite a bit to get our publications promoted, and it seems like that's where we get the largest audience. And some of the stuff that Susan was talking about of shorter descriptions, tagging, and then boosting with demographic audiences has gotten us in front of the most people consistently. And I found that if you, when you're typing out your description over the post, if you put the symbol at in front of the name of somebody that you're tagging it that might be related to the post, then it will tag them in the post, so it shows up also on their page and gets exposure to their audience as well.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Hello.
Okay. This is Susan Bagg.
Yeah, no, I could hear you guys. I don't know why you couldn't hear me. So Adam told me to go ahead and log back out and log back in. And
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, so I heard a little bit of what the gentleman said. Steve, is that your name?
Well, Brian was just talking, and before
Brian.
That,
okay.
My turn.
Okay. So I'm back.
So, Susan, I had just asked you to share another story of kind of how content marketing worked. It would kind of give a feel for beginning to end how it works.
Yeah, it's not magic. You know, like what I did for Avalara is basically I looked at my audiences, determined what kind of content would be valuable to them, and broke it up into I had 8 marketing managers I was supporting. So some of them would find places for articles. Some of them would find white papers they wanted me to do. I would do interviews and just develop case studies. And we weren't doing video quite yet back at Avalara at the start of it. But knowing your audience and what they might be interested in is kind of the first thing. And having that, finding placements for those content. Sometimes it's just going to be on your own blog. And that's where the headings, the tagging, the keywords are especially critical. And then I think I overheard someone talking about Facebook and the way that you're tagging it, Facebook as well. All of that, you kind of almost have to be a mini knowledgeable person on using the different forms of exposing your content. And so every time I put out a blog, I make sure it gets pushed out on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and there's certain key ones that I will put on LinkedIn if it seems like something that would be of value to that audience. If I do a video, I make sure it's put up into YouTube and tagged there, and that I write a blog that links to that. I have a link to it from my Facebook, and then I redo it sometimes. Videos can last a long time. I'll reintroduce the video maybe a month or two later, or reintroduce it in a different way. Infographics can live a long time as well in the same way. You know, from start to end, you're figuring out what content you want to deliver. I usually make out a schedule of my content ahead of time so that I have consistent messaging going out. The company I work for right now, I'm building out my map, because before I came on board, their messages were all over the place. Last year I put out an ad that had a certain message, and just the ad, you know, I would link to the magazine the ad was in. I would link to call out some articles that were facing my ad as well. And that got good exposure. And then the magazine would tag me, and that got me even more exposure there as well. But it got me enough exposure that our competitor came out with an ad this month that is almost exactly the ad that I put out, but worded slightly different, to make people think they do better than we do with this. And it was an ultimate form of a compliment, but at the same time, it was really like, couldn't you guys be more creative than to steal my idea? But I could take that and play on that and, you know, start basically a little fun game of a war with them if I wanted to, because obviously someone has a sense of humor because they know they were looking at our stuff. But the biggest thing is making sure you have that consistency, and then you just start doing it. You have to pay attention to, like he said, the tagging. And there's not really an end to it, because you can measure each month. Let's say I put out 4 blogs 1 week to specific audience. I went out on Facebook and Twitter and Google+ and other places and further pushed out that content and exposed it to people. I further reached out to try to get people to read my blog. At the end of the month, if I'm doing 4 a week, I'm going to look back at all 4 of those blogs, and I'm going to say, okay, how much traffic did I have to each of these blogs? And I'm going to measure who's read it. you know, measure how many people and what kind of demographics, and I'm going to analyze that and figure out which content performed better and then try to give more of it. If those are the kind of topics they're interested in, I want to be giving them more of that. And I also try to measure whether it is really hitting the audience that I want it to hit, because I don't want to be talking all day to somebody who and giving them great content when it's not going to help me overall with my end result of getting the right audience to our website or to call us, whatever the end goal is. So your content, once it's out there, you're going to continue to see people going to it. And it may, you know, your first month and then your second month will give you a good measurement of whether that's going to increase in visits or not. One of my, what I did at Avalara is I actually set up and started training some of my subject matter experts to be authors online. And I placed one of them on a sales and use tax website. He was a great storyteller. And so I worked with him and taught him about the keywords for his content. And since I've left Avalara, I've seen that he's continued his following. But because he had something really fun, he could make sales tax fun when you'd read his articles. And with the right keywords and being in that website that already pulled in the right audience, he actually was able to increase each month the number of visitors to that website just coming to his blog. It was, you know, advertised in Facebook. It was advertised on other sales and use tax websites. It was tweeted. It was on LinkedIn occasionally and linked over to that blog, as well as having little bites of it on LinkedIn to expose him as an author. And that increased his reach. And even though he's published it and he's done with it, it still continues to get traffic. So with content marketing, the valuable thing is there's not really an end. Maybe you're done with writing it, but you can still continue to refer back to something. You may write a related blog later. It is always good if you wrote something about it, say, 3 weeks ago or 3 months ago, reference that. Link to it, increase that linking and that mobility online. I'm not sure if that was exactly what you wanted, so let me know if it was. If not, I'll try a different story.
Well, good. That's a lot more. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, any other final questions? We probably have time for one more. Okay, I think we will go ahead and wrap up. I want to thank Susan again for sharing all the information with us today. I found it really helpful, and so thank you for volunteering your time to share your expertise with us. And thank you, everybody who joined the call. And we will have the recording and the summary up on our website so you can go back and review if you'd like to. And with that, I hope everybody has a great rest of the weekend and the rest of the summer. We'll talk to you next month.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you very much.